from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, back to the guys.
Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
Noon straight up, Gresh and Fourier here on Boston and New England Sports Original, WEEI. Remember in the Leanus deal, in potentially trading Big Lean, that one of the names that was brought up was Jacob Chychrun? He's now been traded to Washington for someone named Nick Jensen in a third round pick a couple years down the road. And we find out from our Scott McLaughlin, follow McLaughlin on Twitter, SMcLaughlin9, the Bruins will be in Sunrise for the Panthers banner raising on October the 8th. Ouch, that is. It stings the nostrils a little bit. How about
home
that?
Home opener against the Canadians 2 days later.
Oh, there you go.
You know what? I wish.
Dead for about 10 years.
You know what? Seriously, Nick, like that's literally what I was about to launch into is that it used to be so fun hating on Montreal. You know, their fans all think they invented the game. Their all fans think they're hockey royalty. We can't even poke fun at them anymore.
Trying to get Chara arrested.
Seriously. You know, they went to a cup final during the bubble. When it was all the Canadian teams were the only ones up there.
They were the ones allowed
right?
to play.
There was the Canadians, all the Canadian teams playing each other, and they would play basically the people from America. Yeah. It was like Canada and Tampa Bay.
Made no sense. Like, you look at the truest version of a championship. Like, I know people are like, oh, it's a bubble title for the Lakers. At least that one felt a little more structured than, hey, we got to leave these people up in a whole other country, and then we got to figure out how in the world to finish our season.
Well, speaking of parades in Florida, did you see that parade down there?
I did, friend. How about this? NHL Network yesterday had the coverage of it, right? And, of course, we had some thunderstorms that were going to go through, and I had a little bit of anxiety on the whole, oh, crap, we're going to get doused on again. Here we go. I flip it on NHL Network, and I'll watch this parade for a little bit, probably 11:15. I flip it on, and what are they doing? They're giving a freaking weather report because a whole block of Fort Lauderdale was, like, purple. Yeah. And they were like, oh, these rains are pretty bad. It could be, like, an inch per hour. And I was like, I have to turn this. It's going to freak me out.
Yeah, they got dumped on.
Oh, it was a bad time to do a parade.
Crappy. And they all ended up in the Atlantic Ocean again with the Stanley Cup again.
What else are you supposed to do there?
At that point in time, they had this whole – they actually had a really cool setup, like, right on the beach –
big pavilion area, like put up this whole stage, and everybody had their tents, and they were just literally getting just drenched with water, just drenched. And I don't even think it stopped throughout the entire day.
No, I think again in Florida, it can be like 20 minutes of rain, and then it's sunny again, or it's like 20 hours straight of rain, and you're floating down the road for God's sake.
I saw they were getting all excited. It was like, oh, it looks like there's going to be 200,000 people there. I was like, that's
no,
it?
No.
They
could have done that thing at like 11 o'clock at night when people were getting out of bars.
Probably been better.
And they probably would have been better.
Still would have been like 80 degrees, too.
No question. Yeah, it doesn't get real cold down there in the summer. And, hey, congratulations to Florida. Yeah, God bless you. You had the weirdest parade ever. But nevertheless, they are the Cup champions. And how about that? And then you get the Canadian just a couple days later. That's a hell of a start for the Bruins. And, of course, we'll be all over. We're on top of the free agency as well. Noon is when it begins. So now
these
we'll...
scheduled tweets are rolling out.
Oh, they are?
Scheduled tweets.
Yet, but Frank Saravelli had just about 20 tweets go off in the last 2 minutes.
So basically, I don't even know if they call this the legal tampering period. Like, the NFL has to call attention to, hey, we've made it legal for everyone to do things illegally and talking to people before they sign them.
Yeah, because before, when we had our deadline, they were doing it, and we got mad about it. So we said, okay, we're going to make this legal. But all they did was just push back the real tampering a week before the official tampering, legal tampering part.
They're just acknowledging it is exactly what it is.
Yeah, we're acknowledging that. We know it's happening. We know you guys are talking. Stop making us look stupid.
Wow. I mean, it really does feel that way, doesn't it? Like, that's the first thing.
So now they just talk a week earlier.
Yeah.
That's all they do.
I don't get it. And I'm sure the hockey signings will be out fast and furious. It feels like some of the big NBA signings have kind of happened, and now it's like, all right, they're not down to the B group per se, but it kind of feels like there were teams that were ready to jump, like Paul George. Paul George is getting 4 years and $212 million with the 76ers.
Jeez. He's going to be on that Bobby Bonilla deal.
Oh,
hey, listen, brother. You cannot. I get the popsicle headache also when I think about it. Hey, listen, they're willing to do it.
Right.
They're that desperate. They're that hungry. And I would also say scared. They're scared. Well, that whole process, trust the process.
Oh, yeah.
That whole logo that they tried to push and Embiid was pushing, it's not working.
This is the last chance for them to be able to make anything out of the process.
Yeah, they need a new process.
Maxie. Yeah.
Let's add something to our process.
Yep. So they got Maxie now. They've got Embiid locked up. They go get Paul George. They think they've got three guys. Listen, Philly was one of the teams that would be like, they'd be an interesting match against the Celtics. Now, kind of taking it a step further. Let's jump to Ken Rosenthal. Little guy wears bow ties.
He's my favorite. Let me guess, what are you talking about? Oh, the Red Sox must do something at the trade deadline. Is he pleading with the Red Sox to do something?
No,
this is like his binky.
This was an article in The Athletic where Ken Rosenthal broke down some things that, in his opinion, the Red Sox and their front office should do over the next month and a half or so. And the first thing in this column that he mentions is throw Craig Counsell money at Alex Cora. Would that be nothing more than a futile exercise from the Red Sox to do so?
At this point in time, I don't want to talk about my contract. I think if they came to him with a big deal, like we talked about last week, he would sit there and at least entertain it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, he would listen.
Yeah.
But I do think there are some who look at it and say, well, if you throw the money at him, he'll stay. And I'm not so sure about that. Alex Cora is going to get paid wherever he goes. He's a $6 million a year manager, probably on the low end. And if you're going to recruit him to leave the Red Sox or really recruit him as a free agent, and you're a team looking at it, you're probably pretty close to the Craig Counsell neighborhood to begin with.
I would say that he is the best thing for him to do to maximize his earning potential is to wait. I would wait. So even if things implode, right, and they're no longer even, you know, a couple games over 500, they're significantly below 500, like, he's still going to get credit for doing more with less.
Mm-hmm. And so you've already seen what he can do with great talent. The dude wins. He says everything right. He's great in the media. Players love him. And we've also now seen what he's done with a real kind of messed up situation. No money, no help. Nobody's doing anything for you. Multiple GMs, ownership butting in, changing the philosophy midstream.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program.
This is breaking news. Breaking news on WEEI is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
Whoa, baby!
What's happening?
Get McLaughlin on the phone! If he isn't doing a no-pants dance right now, according to Darren Drager, ladies and gentlemen, the Boston Bruins have landed both Lindholm and Zadorov. So Chicken Nick had the mention from Frank Saravelli earlier that the Bruins were doing work on these two players, and now we're getting word that Boston has landed not just one of them, but both of them. Holy cow.
I don't even see that. Where do you see that? It hasn't even popped up yet.
At Darren Dreger, at Darren, two R's, D-R-E-G-E-R. He only tweeted out this 2 minutes ago, Boston lands both Lindholm and Zadorov. Looking to see if there was anything else to that. Just a lot of
No money yet. I'm guessing a lot.
I would think so. I would think at least 3 years of term, maybe more, 3 to 4 years. And this wouldn't gobble up all the money that they have, but it would be a pretty significant chunk, no question. Holy cow. I mean, this is massive for Don Sweeney. For this reason, Christian, does this not kind of restore your faith a little bit in the Bruins' ability to be out in front on a free agent and in the free agent market? Meaning, even last year, and we knew the last year was going to be slow because they didn't have a ton of money, and it was more of the 1 year, $1 million or 1 year, $1.5 million veterans like Van Riemsdyk and people like that. Whereas you think, okay, you're waiting, you're taking advantage of opportunity with a veteran player. They get the extra year, you get them on the cheap. But with this, it is day one. What? The market opened, what was it, 11 minutes ago. And the Bruins had done enough to feel comfortable with the players, but more importantly, were actually in the neighborhood of the money in which either one of these guys were going to get. It wasn't I'm going to try to walk into the high roller room with, a fistful of nickels or something like that. No, for the Bruins to be this competitive and land two players like this, they clearly had to be paying or at least around market value, which does, restore a little faith that Don Sweeney go out and look for the bargains. But when you need something and you have the space, the guy can go out and still get it done.
Well, I would say Sweeney's probably been one of the more active GMs in the city next to Brad Stevens when it comes to adding trade deadline acquisitions, free agents. He's constantly trying to make this team better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's not afraid to make a deal. He's not afraid to go all in. He's also not afraid to kind of admit when they're kind of taking a back seat. That's what I see with the Sweeney and the Bruins. I mean, they jump in.
Wow, Cap Friendly, which is one of those sites to be able to follow the league and cap and all that. At Cap Friendly said, 10 minutes into free agency in hockey, we have 27 signings. The contract years total 75. The cap hit sum is like $74 million, but in contract dollars, it's $293 million.
Got Lindholm numbers. Seven years, 7.75 per. It's a lot for him.
Man, that is a lot. Holy crap. No numbers on Zadorov yet?
Not yet.
It's going to be lower than that.
I think he was looking for four and a half per
from
the Canucks, but they didn't get it.
Yeah, I was figuring $4.5-5 million right around there, I should say. All right, so here we go. How about that? Leaving Vancouver to come to Boston. So Don Sweeney has made a splash. Man, oh, man, how about that? What was the other one, Nick, that you had? Stamkos went where to the Preds?
Stamkos to the Predators for 4 years, $8 million per.
Yeah, it's funny.
They signed three massive deals all at the same time.
And what's interesting is that with Stamkos, there were like some rumblings out there about, I think it was Tampa offered him like an eight-year deal at $3 million per year or something like that, which I'm sure some people are like, wait a minute, is that reversed? And then you end up seeing what the Preds end up doing with a guy like with Stamkos. All right, so Nikita Zadorov and Elias Lindholm are signing with the Boston Bruins. How about that? Don Sweeney jumping right in. 617-779-7937 for you to be able to jump in. The 617, which Lindholm? Elias. There you go.
They have the other Lindholm.
I was thinking it was Hampus? Does he have a brother?
Oh, no. Hamper is already signed.
I know. I was like, well, they'd give him. Yeah.
Somebody said, I'm more impressed that the Jacobs are spending the money. Here's the thing. With a cap, now they've had to spend. You know, there's a floor and a ceiling. And to me, it's not that Don Sweeney hasn't had the resources, let's say, because it's different than it is in pro football, where in football, whatever the guaranteed money is, you got to throw that into escrow, or you have a massive signing bonus that's attached to it. There might be signing bonus that's attached to this, but it's nothing like you see in big league baseball or the NFL. It's much more of the, okay, you got $88 million to spend. How much are you getting up there? Bingo, bango, go get it done.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
No matter where you work from these days, take Gresh and Fourier with you on the Odyssey app. Favorite WEEI.
You know what I really hate for the Bruins in this instance, Fourier? Is that the Bruins got arguably the best available free agent out on the market in Elias Lindholm. And sadly, about 80% of the people who love the Bruins might have to struggle to find this guy, might have to struggle to get info on him, right? This is amazing. this would be like, this would honestly, now, Elias Lindholm to Manny Ramirez, don't get me wrong, I'm not like going the whole player to player in their respective sport and stuff like that, right? But when Manny Ramirez came here a bunch of years ago, it was, wow, the Red Sox got the best guy out there. They got the best guy in free agency because Manny was sought after and all that stuff. And that's where the Bruins are at with Elias Lindholm. Yet I feel like it's just going to maybe kind of blow over a little bit. And even $10 Shake says, dude played in Western Canada. It's not like we watch a lot of Vancouver games. However, if you are aware of the player, if you are aware this is a center forward who can help you in multiple ways, this should be one of those, holy crap, you went out and got the best guy available, and it feels like it's just going to be a golf clap versus, hey, Donnie, hey, baby, hey,
well, they desperately needed a top six center, and they got one.
Well, they needed to, and they had the space to be able to add someone like Lindholm, but if we were more familiar with hockey players, there would be the adulation, jubilation, celebration going on because, again, you can look at the sheet and say, this was the best guy out there. For whatever he turns out to be, in this particular free agent class, this was the best dude. And the Bruins went out and got him, got a deal done and sewn up. And I don't know if there will be the pyro and ballyhoo that probably should come along with a signing like this. Again, if this were the NFL, we almost voided our bowels for the hope of signing a good, not great wide receiver. And yet, Donnie Sweeney goes out, gets the top guy on the board. Good Lord. And it's like, oh, nice job. Whereas we, and what was the name of the guy that went to Tennessee, the wide receiver from Jacksonville? Help me out. I don't remember the guy.
Calvin Ridley.
Calvin Ridley.
Wow, we forgot
exactly.
Calvin Ridley's name.
Yeah. Ooh, Calvin Ridley. No pants dance. Streaking through the quad, right? But with Elias Lindholm, it's, it, you know, the unfortunately for Don Sweeney, just a lack of overall kind of player knowledge. Again, hockey hardo. They've been in on this. It's on their whiteboard at home. They got their free agency mapped out and all that kind of stuff and sort of putting things together for the Bruins. But this is one of those moves that should be lauded and celebrated because if any other general manager, are you kidding me? With the way people want Mayo to succeed, Elliot Wolf would get a statue if he freaking signed a big-time wide receiver or something, it feels like. Whereas with Don Sweeney, it's like, oh, nice job. You screwed up that third round of 3 years ago.
Well, that's because that's the picky trade for Zach Rinaldo.
I know, but you get the point.
Yeah, how much Elias, what's his last name, Lindholm? How much of him have you seen?
I mean, I've seen enough to know that he's good, but to the point of $10 Shake. But no, it's just interesting that in other sports, there is the buildup, there is the anticipation, there is the, well, if my guy, insert GM name here, doesn't go get this dude, then he's not doing a good job. Well, but Lindholm's signing, it isn't, hey, Don, great job. Way to go out there and be on it with the top-ranked free agent from the jump. It's just, and you know, I think that's the hard part and something that, by the way, I don't think it bothers Don Sweeney at all. Don't get me wrong. Like, he seems pretty secure in himself. Like, I don't think there's any anxiety attacks or any crying or anything like that going on with Don Sweeney. But it would be nice for that guy to get the same kind of adulation that Brad Stevens or now Elliot Wolf or even Belichick. When Belichick signed freaking the corner from Buffalo, came in and won.
Gilmore.
Yeah. He signed Stephon Gilmore. It was, wow, Bill, my God, look at that. Holy crap. And on this, it's like, you know, rushes to paper.
Oh, God,
to
rushes
see
to
who,
click in.
Wow,
Elias
this guy
Lindholm
was the number one free agent. Oh, my God.
Call Scott McLaughlin. Get him on the line.
Which we did, by the way. Apparently, Bruins.
Efforting.
Yeah, Bruins
development camp.
Bruins development camp is going on.
Interesting.
Well,
it's like their OTAs.
No, but you know what is actually interesting coming out of there was that Matty Patra, who, if you go back to what Don Sweeney said a couple days ago, Sweeney was like, hey, Patra probably would have got a better look in the postseason, but he ended up getting hurt. So that was really the big news coming out of development camp was that Patra was up, moving, ready to go. That's somebody that I think a lot of Bruins fans think, okay, that might be a top nine. You know, there's a top nine guy right there that you know could they've been developing him, and hey, this might be his time. And it's also somebody who will give you some pretty cheap labor. Maybe even on the other side of some of these dudes or how they decide to shift around the lineup. But no, there is the part of me because of the overall lack of just player awareness in NHL free agency for most fans, that if this were in another sport, this would be lauded. It would be great job by Mr. General Manager, insert name here, to go get this guy who people have ranked high in free agency.
No, I said it before, as far as GMs willing to be aggressive, proactive, cutting edge, getting the players that they need, seeing a need, feeling a need. I mean, this is what he's done for a while now. Even back to when they signed Bertuzzi and all those other guys, like the Bruins version of their last dance.
Mm-hmm.
When he signed all those players and it didn't work, they get bounced early, and they go ahead and they can't spend as much, and they still they get farther this year than they did last year. I'm not surprised that Sweeney, you know, finds a need and fills a need. And they got more money than they had, pre-COVID, too.
Well, they did. However, I mean, this has clearly been an organization at times where even when they have the money, they're still trying to get a better deal, or they're nickel and diming someone or something like that. Nick, the number's in, 7.75 per, right?
Yep, for Lindholm, and then 5 per for 6 years for Zadorov.
Okay, when you're paying 7.75, you're not looking for a bargain. You're not looking to, you know, do the whole, oh, hey, we're the Boston Bruins. You know, things are a little different here, da-da-da, all that kind of stuff. No, it was great. You went out, you did the homework, you recruited the player, and you felt comfortable paying the market value. And to me, that was more of the quibble with the Bruins. And, you know, a lot of people did the same thing with Belichick, too. Man, how come the market sees it as this and they see it as that? And some would always pin it on the Jacobs and not spending money. Some would be the GM for having a different valuation than other people. But, you know, overall in the last couple of years, Sweeney's made some mistakes. All GMs do. But on the whole, this guy's been pretty good. And this is a real indicator that the Bruins can go into the high roller room when they want to. Nick, you had something I thought you were loading up there.
Jake DeBrusk, gone.
Well,
even though it was basically a given. Vancouver, 7 years, 5.5 annual.
Wow. Holy cow. So Jake DeBrusk got his. So one Vancouver forward comes here and a Bruins forward goes there. There you go. Exactly right. But, well, good for Jake DeBrusk. I mean, the guy grinded and, you know, he still fit in here with Monty. And, you know, I think DeBrusk kind of sort of came full circle where now some Bruins fans look at him and be like, nah, I'm not paying $5.5 million for that guy.
Is that the same? That's not the same DeBrusk that was like asking for a trade. Is that the same guy?
That was the one who had big issues with
DeBrusk. Yep.
Yeah, that was the same Jake DeBrusk who didn't want to be coached by Bruce Cassidy.
That's right.
Yeah, no,
and
that
then
guy
ended up re-signing when they got a new coach.
Yeah, and then he ended up like staying here for a couple of years under Monty, and at least you feel like he was doing okay.
Not bad though. $5.5 million, play half a season. Pretty good.
Well, I was gonna say, and to do it in Vancouver, right? So see his dad a whole bunch. His dad's a big analyst up in Canada for TSN, I think it is, or one of those two.
Is there another one?
Well, there was CBE. There was RDS, I think it was, the French speaking outlet up there. I don't know how much they've got left of the hockey like package up there or anything like that. Just kind of a skirt, man. Chicken Nick was right. There were a lot of people had work done by noon, and now it's just getting announced. Here we go. Chris Johnston, Elias Lindholm, 7-year deal with the Bruins, and of course they have no write up on it whatsoever. It's just boom, 7-year deal, 7.75 annual average AAV. Well, I do hope in some circles that Don Sweeney does get, you know, at least a day's worth of flowers for being like, all right, you went out and got the top guy.
And after getting skewered through the draft and after trading Olmark, he did fill two of their biggest needs.
No,
top four defensemen, top six center.
And you know what? And I give him a lot of credit. They were patient. They didn't do anything stupid. It doesn't look like it's any massive overpays or anything like that. Let's slide back to the Red Sox because, Foyer, we were in the middle of talking Red Sox when this Bruins news dropped. We talked about the whole Ken Rosenthal column. He said the first thing that he would do if he were either consulting, advising, whatever, with the Red Sox would be throw Craig Counsell money at Alex Cora. You and I gave our thoughts on that. Here's the second thing out of this column. State unequivocally they are buyers at the deadline.
There not a chance in hell.
Bingo, brother.
Not a chance in hell.
Yep, and hell wouldn't even freeze on that because they know it's
this
such...
This is why it's kind of comical. It's like he's demanding that they do something that they're not basically equipped to do. State that you're going to be buyers. So does that mean letting the rest of the teams around the league know that, hey, we're serious, we want to buy, we think we're really good? Like, is that basically what I'm to whom? Not the media.
Oh, no.
The managers.
No. It's, no, you're stating it to the fans, according to Rosenthal.
Oh, because really?
Because of the, which is, and again, even if behind the scenes, Breslow calls people and is like, yeah, you know, we're not saying it, but we're in it. It's going to get out. You can't trust other general managers with your sensitive information. Because that gets relayed to agents. And for those who have not followed sports long enough, the biggest group of blabbermouths in sports relative to their own clients are agents. They all talk to each other. They all want to know what other teams are saying in terms of, well, what was the argument against this or the argument against that? So that these guys, when they negotiate, they think they have all the answers to be able to get after all these GMs in every sport, for crying out loud.
Yeah, so if you hear a GM say, we're open for business,
mm-hmm.
If you hear him say that, I think that's a bad way of going about your business. Hey, now, of course, you're going to have all these people try to like get it. Oh, they're open for business. I'm going to try and fleece them. I'm going to try and get a deal. It doesn't mean you're going to get a deal just because somebody determines that they're open for business. I'm telling you, I'm open for business. Make me an offer.
There's what it is. When you say you're open for business, it's I'm not going to call you, but if you call me, I'll listen. And unfortunately, for a lot of fans, the I'm open for business can be misconstrued because it takes one half-ass, terrible report from, you know, one of these fly-by-night Twitter handles that got 200,000 people on it, and it said, well, we've heard blah, 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 blah. And then it becomes, well, you're open for business and you got that deal. Well, really, that deal wasn't offered to us. It can create a set of problems publicly for a GM, but I think it's kind of the best way to go because then you can do the, hey, I said it was open for business and business wasn't good enough for me to conduct. Yeah, I don't know what you want me to tell you.
Yeah, I didn't say I was open to taking crappy deals.
Bingo.
Okay, I said let's do a deal. If you have an idea, hey, you don't have to go fishing and be real coy about it. Just ask me or tell me, and then we can see if we can get a deal done. So he may get more offers if everybody knows that he isn't, though. That this last weekend proved that it was just too premature. They weren't good enough. They went on a nice little run, and then they took two in the chin by the Padres and had to kind of will their way to win that last game so they didn't get swept.
Yeah, that was Friday and Saturday over at Fenway wasn't good. The last thing in Rosenthal's piece is only trade Kenley Jansen for a pending free agent starter. Now, this is interesting because basically what you're doing is, according to Rosenthal, you're taking a closer heading into free agency and swapping him for a starter heading into free agency, and you hope that both teams look at it and say, I need to invest in the closer. Red Sox need to invest in a starter. There we go and make it easy. Here's what Rosenthal wrote. For all the talk of moving Kenley Jansen, the Red Sox should only do it if they can find a team willing to trade a potential free agent starter for a potential free agent reliever. The Dodgers' Walker Buehler, coming off Tommy John and currently out with hip inflammation, might not be the right fit, but that would be the idea. An even better idea would be try to keep Jansen, trade for a starter in some other way. If the Sox are serious about contending, they should not trust Liam Hendricks coming off Tommy John surgery to close. And then he writes about, that's the thing, the Sox should be serious about contending. You know, again, they're a game and a half out of the third wild card spot.
See, I do not think they should. I do not think that they should be. Here's what I think is going to happen. Cora's going to end up being a manager, but for another team. So they'll lose out on that. They'll have to scramble and let Breslow find another guy and try to convince everybody, because this is usually the way it goes. They think you're stupid. They will make up some excuse for how and why Cora and the Red Sox had a mutually parting of the ways. They'll try and feed you that sort of stuff. They'll try and replace it with somebody that is better, and they'll fail. But if they give them a bunch of good players, then it'll be fine. I think they're going to completely screw this up. They're going to screw up the trade deadline, and they're going to screw up the re-signing of Alex Cora. Because if you look to the beginning of the season, that's all they've been doing. Sticking their foot in their mouth, saying the wrong thing, hiring the wrong. It's just what's going to happen. Like, they're not suddenly going to figure it out. I don't believe it.
I'm with you in that we're going to be, unless there's a hot run coming or a major injury, and even then, we'll be woefully disappointed at the deadline. I have zero expectations, even though I should have higher ones, because I just don't want to let myself down.
No.
I don't want to get worked up again. Like, you know, at least with the Linus Allmark possible trade, and they were talking about the defenseman Chychrun, and it's like, oh, okay, that would be a really interesting one-for-one swap that would provide a little juice, but it really ended up creating kind of a false sense of thought around that trade. And then whenever it went down, it was kind of like, oh, it just ended up with this. When in reality now, you go out and sign the top forward in free agency and one of the better D-men out there, now you got something. Like, now Don Sweeney, you could be like, hey, guess what? Good job. If you were upset at the return for Allmark, you now turn around and look at this and be like, okay, good job, Don. You're in part going to fix this.
Yeah, and in some way, in order to have, and I wonder how much, if the Red Sox were really nervous about their perception that fans have, local fans, not the Fenway Experience fans that come from out of state, the first goodwill move that they would make in order to restore some sort of confidence in the organization would be to sign Alex Cora. Would be like, listen, this is part of our long-term process. See, we're doing what we said we were going to do.
That's a good point.
He's already kind of mentored these young guys. You've seen glimpses of them being really good. They're only going to get better. We are going to add, but we're not doing anything without Cora. That would be what I would do to prove that we're in it for the long haul. And sure, you can be disgruntled and annoyed that we're not winning, but we have a plan.
I'll tell you the other thing, too. Does management dare go to the players? I mean, it'd be a full-blown Mayo-type move. But if you're the organization and you're Breslow, even if it's the leaders, do you pull those guys aside and try to get a deeper understanding as to what Alex Cora means to the players? Or if you're Breslow, do you not even care? Like, I feel like I'm not going to go ask that question because I might not get the answer I want. Because I'm not fully convinced that this management group really wants to keep Alex Cora, and in particular, Breslow wants to keep Cora as the guy long term.
Do you think, like, if Breslow is in charge of hiring and signing and determining whether Cora should be the guy, what reasons has Cora given Breslow to not like him?
Good question.
Like, what has he done that is like, oh, that's horrible?
The only thing that I could think of would be maybe Breslow wants a robot in there sometimes that look at piece of paper or look at email sent to me, this is the lineup, that kind of thing.
Does not compute.
Right.
I don't have emotions.
Does he want Carmine the computer from the Theo Epstein days in there sort of running things, or does Cora kind of think on his own too much? Well, the Hawk Tua girl is back.
Woo!
More than just on the Gresh and Fourier YouTube. Big deal, no big deal is next.
This is Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
This is breaking news. Breaking news on WEEI is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
Done deal for the Boston Celtics. That's right. We've kind of breezed by the fact that Sam Hauser got his option picked up. Luke Kornet coming back on a one-year deal. Well, now it is official. Derek White has signed a four-year, $125.9 million contract extension that will keep D. White here for the foreseeable future. What I also see, Foyer, is potentially a tradable number down the road. But again, we're looking short-term. Forget about the dynasty, all that stuff. The only thing the Celtics really truly have control of is next year. So Kornet is back. Hauser's back.
Yep.
And now Derek White is on a four-year extension. So since acquiring all three of those guys, Brad Stevens has re-signed Derek White, Drew Holiday, and Kristaps Porzingis. As soon as they got him in here, got him in on extensions, and now the group is set at least for next season.
I mean, listen, the money is absurd for all these guys. They're starting five. They're most important players. I just think about the tax bill. But here's the thing. The ownership group, especially Wick, has been on record as saying, we're going to be paid in parades. He doesn't care about the amount of money that he's going to be paying extra, which is close over at least $50 million plus.
Well, in the short term, I completely agree. At some point, they will break. At some point, there will be a, we got to lower these numbers. It will happen.
But so if you take the, Tatum is, Brown, Tatum, Holiday, Derek White, Porzingis.
Mm-hmm.
That's your five. Listen, I don't need you. I don't even have to ask you to do the math right now, but it is.
Well, I'm trying to pull it up, but
I'm sure somebody's got it at some point in time, because that is the ultimate question. But here's the thing. Who cares? Who cares? You are keeping this team together. You keeping all the most important players together, and they've all earned, especially Derek White, especially since all the work that he's doing, playing underneath Marcus Smart, taking that position and doing more with that position than Marcus Smart did. That's key on Twitch right now. $10 shake. Wick is the one who said, let's burn some cash.
So depending on who you want to put in the starting five, if the starting five in your mind, Foyer, is Holiday, Porzingis, Tatum, Brown, and White, here you go. Holiday next year, $30 mil.
Yep.
Zinger next year, 29.2. Tatum, 34.8. It looks like Jaylen Brown, 49.7, and Derek White next year, 19.5. I think it's extensions. I don't think you're tearing up the final year of a deal for something to start.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So it will kick in for those next 4 years. And then Tatum, you know, you got to extend. And Porzingis, I thought there was an extension on Porzingis that maybe Basketball Reference hasn't quite updated yet, but basically you're looking in the neighborhood of $140, $150 million for that starting five.
If you go just by full contracts with Tatum getting the Supermax at $315 million, it'll cost them $941 million total contract-wise.
From beginning to end for all these guys, yep. Right?
And now, have you done the? See, here's the thing.
What does Matthew want us to do?
I want to do one more math equation.
Oh, you know what? Hold on.
The one math. And this, I'm telling you, it's the Golden State Warriors all over again when they went through that run with all the tax dollars that they were paying.
And by the way, Porzingis, it wasn't a 3-year; it was a 2-year, $60 million extension. So I knew there was an extension for Porzingis.
And his starts what this year?
His was stand by. Let me look. Hold on. New 2-year, $60 million extension, keeping him under contract for $96 million through the 25-26 season. So you have next year and then the year after that.
Yeah, okay.
So that's what it was. So they did the whole, he had the 1 year, they tack on the two. Therefore, it was 3 for $96 million is essentially what they did when Porzingis got here. So you got him for at least 2 more years. You got White for 4. So you can kind of see maybe how they're going to make that work. Porzingis would be the first guy that you probably got to make the tough decision on. And I would dare think, unless there's some sort of no trade, that at some point Drew Holiday probably gets flipped towards the end of his contract as well.
Probably.
That's why I'm not focusing. I think if you're running with the dynasty talk, slow it down.
No.
It's about next year.
You can still do I still think you can do dynasty talk as long as you have those two most important players. You have the two Jays. This Boston is a destination now. You want to win a ring. You want to want to cap your career. This is where you try to go. I mean, with those two guys at their age, even by the time, I mean, they won't even be 30. And most of these guys, Porzingis' deal will be up. Drew will probably be gone. Al will be gone. Horford will be gone. Cornette will be gone. Who? It may be Baylor Shireman who may be the third or fourth most important person on your team.
But that's the thing is that Brad Stevens is going to have to do what other NBA GMs have done, like Danny Ainge, which is the whole trading the contract forward, trading it forward. Who would be the team who, you know, needs a contract to get thrown in there? What if Porzingis breaks down? There's all kinds of variables and stuff. But I think for Brad Stevens, it's building this team in a 2-year window. Next year's year two. And then you got to try to look to how can I get 4 years out of this group in some way, shape, or form? And that would include taking guys and going to get other people for them. And who knows? Maybe that's where, you know, Hauser is eventually going to get an extension if they really want to keep him around. And I said to you, that'd be a very tradable contract, but there's no reason why you couldn't end up seeing one of these guys with picks or something and a Hauser thrown in or whatever to be able to get a deal done on the other end. Now everybody knows Stevens knows how to trade. So now his job gets imminently more difficult. But next year, they're the favorites. And our expectation is they'll go back-to-back. And they will, and we will enjoy it. Sorry that there's no big deal, no big deal. Or at least we'll slide it down.
We'll see where we can slide it.
Yeah, maybe we can move it down just a little bit. What an hour. The Bruins with signings. Derek White has been extended. More Ken Rosenthal writing how the Red Sox need to do stuff. And Gerard Mayo changed practice time. Hot damn, what a day on Gresh and Fourier.
This is Gresh and Fourier on WEEI.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program.
This is breaking news. Breaking news on WEEI is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
Done deal for the Boston Celtics. That's right. We've kind of breezed by the fact that Sam Hauser got his option picked up. Luke Kornet coming back on a 1-year deal. Well, now it is official. Derek White has signed a 4-year, $125.9 million contract extension that will keep D. White here for the foreseeable future. What I also see, Foyer, is potentially a tradable number down the road. But again, we're looking short term. Forget about the dynasty, all that stuff. The only thing the Celtics really truly have control of is next year. So Kornet is back. Hauser's back.
Yep.
And now Derek White is on a 4-year extension. So since acquiring
All three of those guys, Brad Stevens has re-signed Derek White, Drew Holiday, and Kristaps Porzingis. Soon as they got him in here, got him in on extensions, and now the group is set at least for next season.
I mean, listen, the money is absurd for all these guys. They're starting five. They're most important players. I just think about the tax bill. But here's the thing. The ownership group, especially Wick, has been on record as saying we're going to be paid in parades. He doesn't care about the amount of money that he's going to be paying extra, which is close over at least $50 million plus.
Well, in the short term, I completely agree. At some point, they will break. At some point, there will be a, we got to lower these numbers. It will happen.
But so if you take the, Brown, Tatum, Holiday, Derek White, Porzingis.
Mm-hmm.
That's your five. Listen, I'm not even going to ask you to do the math right now, but it is.
Well, I'm trying to pull it up, but
I'm sure somebody's got it at some point in time, because that is the ultimate question. But here's the thing. Who cares? Who cares? You are keeping this team together. You keeping all the most important players together, and they've all earned, especially Derek White, especially since all the work that he's doing, playing underneath Marcus Smart, taking that position and doing more with that position than Marcus Smart did. That's key on Twitch right now, $10 shake. Wick is the one who said, let's burn some cash.
So depending on who you want to put in the starting five, if the starting five in your mind, Foyer, is Holiday, Porzingis, Tatum, Brown, and White, here you go. Holiday next year, $30 million.
Yep.
Zinger next year, 29.2. Tatum, 34.8, it looks like. Jaylen Brown, 49.7, and Derek White next year, 19.5. I think it's extensions. I don't think you're tearing up the final year of a deal for something to start.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So it will kick in for those next 4 years. And then Tatum, you got to extend. And Porzingis. I thought there was an extension on Porzingis that maybe Basketball Reference hasn't quite updated yet, but basically you're looking in the neighborhood of $140, $150 million for that starting five.
If you go just by full contracts with Tatum getting the Supermax at $315 million, it'll cost them $941 million
Woo!
Total contract-wise.
From beginning to end for all these guys, yep. Right? And now, have you done the? See, here's the thing.
What does Matthew want us to do?
I want to do one more math equation.
Oh, you know what? Hold on.
I'm telling you, it's the Golden State Warriors all over again when they went through that run with all the tax dollars that they were paying.
And by the way, Porzingis, it wasn't a 3-year; it was a 2-year, $60 million extension. So I knew there was an extension for Porzingis.
And his starts what this year?
His was Let me look. Hold on. New 2-year, $60 million extension, keeping him under contract for $96 million through the 25-26 season. So you have next year and then the year after that.
Yeah, okay.
So that's what it was. So they did the whole, he had the 1 year, they tack on the two. Therefore, it was 3 for $96 million is essentially what they did when Porzingis got here. So you got him for at least 2 more years. You got White for 4. So you can kind of see maybe how they're going to make that work. Porzingis would be the first guy that you probably got to make the tough decision on. And I would dare think, unless there's some sort of no trade, that at some point Drew Holiday probably gets flipped towards the end of his contract as well.
Probably.
That's why I'm not focusing. Yep. I think if you're running with the dynasty talk, slow it down.
No.
It's about next year.
You can still do I still think you can do dynasty talk as long as you have those two most important players. You have the two Jays. This Boston is a destination now. You want to win a ring. You want to want to cap your career. This is where you try to go. I mean, with those two guys at their age, even by the time, I mean, they won't even be 30. And most of these guys, Porzingis' deal will be up. Drew will probably be gone. Al will be gone. Horford will be gone. Cornette will be gone. It may be Baylor Shireman who may be the third or fourth most important person on your team.
But that's the thing, is that Brad Stevens is going to have to do what other NBA GMs have done, like Danny Ainge, which is the whole trading the contract forward, trading it forward. Who would be the team who, you know, needs a contract to get thrown in there? What if Porzingis breaks? There's all kinds of variables and stuff. But I think for Brad Stevens, it's building this team in a two-year window. Next year's year two. And then you got to try to look to, how can I get 4 years out of this group in some way, shape, or form? And that would include taking guys and going to get other people for them. And who knows? Maybe that's where, you know, Hauser is eventually going to get an extension if they really want to keep him around. And I said to you, that'd be a very tradable contract, but there's no reason why you couldn't end up seeing one of these guys with picks or something and a Hauser thrown in or whatever to be able to get a deal done on the other end. Now everybody knows Stevens knows how to trade. So now his job gets imminently more difficult. But next year, they're the favorites. And our expectation is they'll go back-to-back. And they will, and we will enjoy it. Sorry that there's no big deal, no big deal. Yeah. Or at least we'll
see where we can slide it.
Yeah, maybe we can move it down just a little bit. What an hour. The Bruins with signings. Derek White has been extended. More Ken Rosenthal writing how the Red Sox need to do stuff. And Gerard Mayo changed practice time. Hot damn, what a day on Gresham Fourier.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.